are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
We are diving back into our short Matthew series. If you're new with us, we've only been, this is like week number 79 or something like that. We started this in 2024, and so we're all the way in Matthew chapter 19. We had a last 3 weeks, we took a little break from it, but not really. We had our life group launch, and I'm really pleased to tell you that a lot of folks have been connected in life groups. And I think Ian was saying we had like 120 people in the last couple months that have said they wanted to get connected in life groups. We've launched new groups off, so our group has been meeting as well. So thanks for plugging into community. So we talked about that, and we talked about what does it look like to be a disciple, and what does it look like to make disciples, and shared a little bit of our process with you. So that's where we were for the last 3 weeks. But prior to that, in our last version with Matthew, we talked about that fun, lovely subject called divorce. And Jesus was being questioned by the Pharisees about how he views divorce, and they were trying to trap him again, and he told them they didn't even know their Bible, and then they quoted back in the text, and he said, well, the reason why Moses had to permit you a certificate of divorce is because you had hardened hearts. And that's kind of where we left off. And then we go to this next text. We go from hardened hearts to let the little children come to me. And so I find that interesting how quickly it's moving from this is the smart adults with the hardened hearts, you know, and do not hinder these children from coming to me. I want you to picture a scene with me. Imagine a teacher or perhaps a leader that everyone is excited about, they respect, and they're standing in a crowd. I want you to imagine small children being brought to this person by caring parents. They've heard about this person that he has the ability to heal. They've heard about this person that touching the hem of his garment has healed people before. And they want to bring their children to him. And then they have their bodyguards all around him, and the bodyguards are like, no, and they're stiff-arming the kids. And the kids can't come to him. No, you can't bring your children to me because other things are too important, more important than me speaking life into and over your children. That would not be the type of God that I would want to chase after. And that is not what we observe in the text. When you think about childlike faith, you know, this concept is about what does it mean to have childlike faith, to be humble, to have total trust and dependence on God, like it just depends on your life, like a parent taking care of you, rather than our own self-sufficiency and I do it and our own worldly logic that we are developing. It involves an open heart and a childlike wonder and humility, which Jesus states is essential for entering the kingdom of heaven. It's not marked by cynicism or doubt. It involves accepting God's word without all this complex reasoning that maybe even the Pharisees were trying to talk about. I was thinking of this last week, and I got the privilege of going over and watching our grandchildren with my wife on Wednesday, so our lovely children could go to the life group, which they're loving. This is their third week in a row going to the life group. And so we get to go over there, and we catch them right before they go to bed. They're kind of just got done eating, and we get like an hour of playtime with them and all those things. And so I thought I would show you some childlike faith moments with a quick little video of me playing with my grandson. Do we have that video? We did that for like 30 minutes. I only showed you 20 seconds. My legs are still sore. No. But I think about that. Like, I remember doing that with my kids. And I remember the kids have this faith, like I'm flipping them over upside down, as you can tell. Anybody want to try it with me? No. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm flipping them over, but he has the faith that I'm going to catch him. Over and over. And he'll just run and just dive right into my legs and like expecting that he's going to have a fun ride and he's going to be caught and not dropped. Childlike faith. Do you believe that your Papa in heaven, the Father God, the creator of the universe, is going to catch you? Now, some of us are coming down like a Plinko board, banging off our heads off of all kinds of things on our way there because we have our great self-knowledge. We're stepping on landmines and we're blowing things up on ourselves and other people. But I got to tell you that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your papa's going to catch you. I have to fight to have that same faith. I have to fight to believe that God will catch me. Think about this small moment that we're going to read. I have three whole verses that I'm scheduled to cover today. This small moment in Jesus' ministry, but it carries a powerful message about who belongs in the kingdom of heaven and how Jesus sees and values in the world are what the world often dismisses. So let's take a look at our text here together in Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Coming off the heels of divorce, coming off the heels of what divorce is all about, coming off the heels of hard-heartedness, this is the next words that he says. And the people brought the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. See, children weren't valued as much at this time. Do you know, here's some pretty difficult stats that you might not be aware of when you think about children in the time of Jesus. Did you know that one out of three children that were born never made it to year one? It had a 33% mortality rate. Did you know, like, I would want to bring my children to Jesus. Would you not want to bring your children to Jesus and have them lay your hands on it if you guys knew that one out of three of your kids was not going to make it to their first birthday? You would want the blessing from this healer, from this man that was there. Do you know that 50% of the children never make it to age 10 in Jesus' time? So we don't understand that maybe the child mortality rates of the biblical times, but children were kind of like, you don't even know if they're going to be here. I can't imagine thinking that out of my three kids, one of them would have died before they were a year old, and out of the ones I had left, I'd only get one that would make it to 10. I wonder what Jesus said when he placed his hands on the children. And there's been different discussions about what he might have said, but if he's a person of the text, as we have observed him to be, he might have given them the Aaronic blessing. And that comes from Numbers, and it's this blessing that you bless over people. And it says this, the Lord, he would put, can you imagine, just Jesus just like,
grab my cute little face, my cheeks.
Just grab me, he's like, Josh, substitute your name in there. Substitute your children's name in there. And just looking deep into your eyes and saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom, give you peace. And it's not the first time that we see in Matthew or that we've heard that Jesus talks about childlike faith and the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 18:2, he called the little children to him and he placed a child among him and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change, wonder what you'd have to change from, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. What does this short passage that we had in Matthew 19 teach us about Christ's heart? What is he like? Maybe, how about this? What does it teach us about our posture before Christ? And our responsibility that we might have towards the children in our midst? And maybe today we're going to be challenged to stretch our hearts, to go back to being more childlike, to have a humble faith that causes us in a way to open our arms to those that are small or weak or overlooked into God's family. You know, some of the context around this time with Christ is some of the things that I love to see and understand. The phrases that I was thinking about with these low status of these children is, let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me. This is not like a mere possibility. This is an invitation. Jesus asserts their right to approach him. Let them come to me. Another one of the key phrases that I've been thinking about this week is, do not hinder them. What are these obstacles that we are creating for people to come to the Lord in faith? What are the things we're putting in the way of our own walk to become closer to Jesus, much less to obstruct the little children, the future of the church? You know, one of the coolest things about Real Life on the Palouse is we are a multi-generational church. How many people in here are over the age of 60? Raise your hand. Look at you guys. You can still raise your hands. That's cool. Yeah, me too. I know. I'm 50. I'm getting there, right? Right? That's so cool. That's so awesome, right? How many people in here are under the age of 20? Wow. We are a multi-generational church. The church will live on when it doesn't age out and get old, because everybody just only, you can only, like, I only do this kind of music. And I love our seniors that are investing, and they don't want the kingdom of God to age out. They love seeing the young folks come here. And for you young folks, when you come here and you see these folks, they have so much wisdom. They have so much experience. They are awesome, but like, there's that picture of that guy that's in a wheelchair that you think is like an old World War II vet, and he's being drugged by another guy, and he's got like a gun, and he's fighting. He was like this awesome, amazing, bad actor. Not a bad actor. But like those guys have so much wisdom, so much stories to hear. So let's move obstacles out of the way and make sure we are growing younger as a church, which is, you know, let's get the stuff out of our own way. Like, how do you grow your heart younger? How do you come back to the childlike faith? Because I don't know about you guys, but I can slip into the mindset and lose, like, I almost, like, I'm so smart. I've been to Israel, and I've been to Turkey, and I've seen all these things. I'm like, well, that's great. What are you doing with it? Where is your childlike faith? Where is your boldness? I ask myself this. You know, are people becoming interruptions in my very busy agenda? That's a problem. Are children being marginalized? Do we have to examine in our own hearts what kind of thinking about, like, we have more important work to do? What is more important than leading a young person to Christ? What's more important than leading someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? What would change their life more? Nothing. Another key phrase I thought was interesting: for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven is characterized by qualities seen in children, like humility and trust and dependence. And he places his hands on them. He doesn't just tolerate them. He blesses them and he invests in them. We are investing in your children right now in our children's church. It's not daycare. They're learning things right now because we have a group of people that care about investing in the future. My daughter told me the other day that she's a great mom, by the way. You're a great mom, Tori. Dylan, you're an okay dad. No, they're great parents. But she was telling me about my grandson, and that he was walking around singing a song, and I may not be... march in the infantry, but I'm in the Lord's army. And she was like, where did... Like, she didn't teach him that song yet. You know where he learned that song? He was being invested in by you. He's being invested in by the people of this church. And he's walking around just singing proud. So what is the such as these? What are these such as these characteristics that we need to focus on that Jesus hearkens us back to? How about simplicity and humility? Children aren't preoccupied with status or self-promotion. How about us? What about the characteristics of dependence and trust? They rely on their caregivers. They trust without having to master everything first. How is your dependence and trust meter with the Lord? How about a characteristic of openness and receptivity? They're more open. They're less jaded. How are we jading our children? How are we becoming jaded towards the things of God? The message of the cross is foolishness to many of those out in our community. You're trying to tell me that you actually believe, Josh, that there was a guy named Jesus? Yes, I do. And that is lots of evidence, by the way. And that he lived on this earth, and that he actually went to a cross, and they nailed him to a cross, and they pierced his side, and that he died on the cross, and then they took him off the cross, this dead body off the cross. They put it into a tomb. They rolled a giant stone in front of the tomb, and they put a Roman guard there. And you're trying to tell me that you actually believe that when they went to that tomb after 3 days, that he wasn't in there and that he rose from the dead? That's foolishness. Doesn't make any sense. But it happened. You're trying to tell me you believe in George Washington? I never saw a picture of him. Just paintings. How do we know he even existed? How do you even know that's his signature? Like, it's about the same faith level. Just because it's 2,000 years farther away, people saw there's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to the world, that's foolishness. But not to people who come with childlike faith. Not because you're childish, but because you have faith that your papa and the Father in heaven is going to catch you. He is going to catch you. Do you know that you can bring anyone or anything to Jesus? You can bring anyone or anything to Jesus. Have you heard of folks that say, like, if I came to your church, boy, the walls would collapse and fall down. Like, I'm the best sinner that's ever lived on the face of this earth. And, like, they're afraid to go to a church, right? They're afraid to go to a church building because something could... Like, nope, you can bring them to Jesus. Like, we're there kind of crazy. You guys are kind of weird. We're there kind of weird. And they're going to be ministered to. They're going to be healed. They're going to be cared for. They're going to be loved. They're going to be seen. Your sin that you have is not new, and it is not too big to be covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. He has covered all of our sin by his shed blood. Your papa will catch you. You are not insignificant to him. Just like the little children in the story, they are not insignificant to him. There is not a human life that is insignificant to Jesus Christ, for they came to seek and save what was lost. God's people. Your neighbor is not insignificant to him, even if he doesn't share your same political beliefs. Your problems are not too small to bring to the attention of God, the creator of all of the universe, of everything that is seen and unseen. I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about this phrase that I hear often and from some of my older friends. They're like, preach the word, Josh, preach the word. And they're right. My words are nothing. God's words are life-changing and powerful. I started thinking about our other text in Matthew. I started thinking about the less fortunate, the people that Jesus would call into the kingdom of heaven, this idea of the kingdom of heaven, and going from these hard-hearted Pharisees who are trying to figure out how to, what is good, how I can get out of a commitment or a relationship or a marriage, and those type of things. And he's like, because your hearts were hard, to these childlike faith moments. And it took me back to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3 through 10. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Their papa's going to catch them. When you mourn, your father is going to catch you. It's going to be okay. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who have great power, but know how to use it for goodness in the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. If you are seeking, if you are looking for peace, if you are looking for those things, you will find it, because your papa's going to catch you. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Your papa's going to catch you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are you a peacemaker or a pot stirrer? Are you a peacemaker in your family, or are you a pot stirrer? It's funny, but it's not that funny. Are you bringing peace to your family? Do you bring joy? Do you bring laughter? Do you bring love? Or are you the one that you come in, they're like, all right, it's going to go crazy now. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And, it's Josh Gray version, their papa's going to catch them. So how do you approach Christ? Do you come with the posture of a child, humble and dependent, with this just kind of uncomplicating your faith? Or do you have hindrances in your life like me, like pride and self-reliance and overthinking, that block you from freely coming to Jesus? See, Jesus loves to bless and pray over those who come to him, even when you feel the least worthy. He's going to grab your face. He's going to say, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May the sun shine upon you. You walk out in peace in your life. And as a church, I would love for us to be intentionally bringing our children to Christ in our homes and our churches and our communities. We do things. We care. We care about the children in our communities, right? We had the big back-to-school bash and make sure they have everything they need when they go to school, and maybe even stuff they didn't. Make sure they could throw a baseball at the pastor and dunk him in the dunk tank. No, we have fun, but we want to provide for those things. And that's, what about a church that views life that way, that we care about the weak and the marginalized? That children aren't something to be tolerated, but they are actually a critical part to the flow of God's work in the kingdom. And that we have a responsibility. Everybody in here has a responsibility to teach, model, and pray. I have a responsibility to my children still as adults, to model what it looks like. And I have a responsibility to help them as they raise our awesome grandchildren. And you have that same responsibility as well. So let's be a church that young people want to come to. Let's be a church that is great for people that are over 60. And great for people that are under 20. And all of us in the middle get to be a part of that. That this church would be a space that reflects the welcomeness of God. It would be a hospital for the hurting. We launched our new restoration night on Thursday night, and it was a great launch from what I understand. There are people that are going there that are they're doing the work, first of all. They're bold enough to step into those doors. They're bold enough to sign up for a class, and they're doing the work about what it looks like in their life, whether it be codependency. They're doing the work of what it looks like to actually forgive what they cannot forget. This is a healing place. This is a hospital. This isn't the place of perfection. This is a hospital. Jesus is the ultimate healer, and we defer to him. It's a place of love and compassion and truth. Our society is seeking the truth. What is right? What is accurate? What is righteous? And if you can't get it from the church, oh boy. So what if we continue to foster this intergenerational ministry where children and adults learn and grow together? I want to close with this as I pray over you guys. Father God, speak to us. Holy Spirit, fall upon the hearts and minds sitting in this room at this very second. We call upon you. We call upon you to reveal any barriers that we put in our hearts that hinder us from approaching you with childlike faith. Highlight what those are and let us move those aside and let us run to the Father. Let us have our arms open. Let us be people who are a blessing. People who get to be underneath the shade of your love and your compassion, who can rest in the branches. Let us be a people who speak blessings over folks, not curses. Let us be a group of young adults who would bless each other, not try and tear each other down, who would speak the great things that they see in each other and the boldness that they see, Lord. Call them up. Let us be young families that would dedicate our children to you, Lord, that we would speak over them, that we would place our hands on them, and that through you we would bless these children. That we would prepare them for not just for college and that we saved up money or for sports or those things, but we would prepare them with the text. We would infuse them with your truth and your word. Lord, let us be life groups who pray blessings over each other and blessings over our children, grown and young. Let us be committed to bring them to Jesus in intentional ways. Lord, I thank you for not dismissing the children. I thank you for being my papa who's going to catch me, who catches me, who's caught me, who saved me. Thank you for embracing me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for just having me be part of your life and get to be part of your church. Help me stay as I approach you with childlike faith, that I would run to the Father in a good and purposeful way. And may we as a community be individuals who remove hindrances and make space for all. Lord, I want to say your blessing over this group of people. Your ironic blessing, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, each and every one of you in here. May he be gracious to you, each and every one of you in here. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. We get the privilege and the honor of having communion every week in our church. And so if you didn't grab one when you came in, Ron or David will, you can raise your hand and Ron and David will bring you communion. And we get the privilege and honor of approaching Jesus Christ like he invited those children to because of this very act. Because of what he did on the cross for all of us. That shed blood that covers every sin that's been committed in this room in the past and every sin that's going to be committed in this room in the future, that shed blood is what we get to come to and celebrate and be reminded that we can be renewed, our marriages can be renewed, our children can be renewed because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's an amen. We should say amen on that one. Amen? Amen. That means I agree. I agree that his shed blood has covered my sins. I agree that his shed blood has covered all the sins in the universe. I agree that his shed blood gives me access to the Father because of this great sacrifice. Yes. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took that bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we remember that act. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. You're proclaiming his shed blood and what it's done for you and your family. Lord, we proclaim it." Father, I thank you again for this time with your beautiful people here. I thank you for all the folks that you've brought here. I thank you for the baptisms we're getting ready to celebrate after the service. I thank you for the great worship that we've had. Let us worship you well, Lord. You are so worth calling out. You're so worth running to. And I just thank you so much for being the Papa that never fails, the Papa that would always catch us, even the very last breath of our life. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.